I've had a lot of designers say, "Oh, well, I don't really know how to do that. I get somebody else to do it for me." And I'm like, "Well, then if you have questions come in, how do you answer them?"
You're listening to episode 58 of Power Pearls Podcast. I'm the host, Kara Gott Warner, and it's my mission to share those stories that celebrate our passion for making and yarn crafting and what keeps us going down that path. Welcome to another episode of Power Pearls Podcast. And today I am chatting with my longtime buddy, Tabitha Hedrick. So many of you have been listening for quite some time now, and you may know that both Tabitha and myself have done episodes called Ask Kara and Tabitha Anything. And we would just chit-chat about a variety of things in regards to our yarn crafting lives, and we would also answer questions that have come in from many of you, and we'll probably be doing that again sometime very soon, because Tabitha is also my accountability buddy. She's my friend, she's my buddy. I've always called her my partner in crime on Creative Knitting, and she is the contributing editor of Creative Knitting as well. And so we talk every week, and we just either talk about life and maybe something we're struggling with, or, you know, just sort of random things. But sometimes it's also a very structured conversation, because there might be something that we're both, you know, we need to kind of dig into, or we need to be accountable for. And so we're talking a little bit about that. We talk about a lot of different things, how to stay organized. But we start with her journey, and also what were the stepping stones that led Tabitha to where she is today with Sweet Georgia Yarns as the design director. So it's a really amazing story, and I think you'll find it very inspiring. Tabitha's inspiring. She's funny. She is just so warm and inviting. So with that, we will jump in and start this episode. So enjoy. So kind of share a little bit about, you know, where you are today with your role at Sweet Georgia Yarns. And yeah, because, you know, it's been over a year. And so the last time we spoke, you were just kind of, you know, I would say, you know, you were just about learning.
Yeah.
So kind of just walk, and this would be good for anyone listening for the first time. Kind of your journey. Why don't you share that? Like where you started, when you started knitting.
Oh, you know, okay. Let's do that. You know,
maybe. I mean, why not? I think, and how all those pieces came together, all those stepping stones came together that led you to where you are today. And some of those things can be completely in they don't have to be as related as, you know, one might think too. So why don't you take us on that journey?
Well,
Tabitha?
Let me think here. some of it was me grabbing the bull by the horns, and some of it probably might have been a little bit of luck. But I've been a crafty person, art classes and, you know, all of that stuff from childhood on. And so it seemed natural that my sister-in-law was knitting, and I said, I need to learn to do that. And so I decided to learn to knit and immediately became addicted. My sister-in-law was knitting, but it was one of my, I used to work in, I'm trying to think of, behavioral health for children. And one of my clients that I worked with, she was learning to knit in school. And so she taught me how to knit after school one day. And my first project was this awful, I mean, it was such an ugly market bag. Like, and I think it fell apart a week later, you know, from all the holes and everything in it. It was an ugly bag, but I was so addicted that my very next project was an equally as ugly sweater. I don't
love
start simple, and apparently I don't start pretty.
that.
So, but knitting became just like this instant addiction, and I don't know. I still can't quite identify where the shift from knitter to designer came, but I know it just was a gradual, oh, well, I wonder if I did XYZ, what would happen? And so that's essentially how it came about. And I was able to combine my artistic background. I used to dabble in painting and photography and some of my past lives, in addition to the behavioral health for children, was also graphics design. So it was easy for me to transition it into a digital kind of realm and to be able to pull all of that together to show off my love and passion for knitting. And so I moved to Colorado. Gosh, 8 years ago, somewhere right around there, and I'm knitting at McDonald's one day with my kids. Don't judge me. Don't judge me, people. It was snowing, and there's lots of snow in Colorado, and so when you need an indoor playground, you go to McDonald's. So my kids were playing, and I was knitting, and this English girl came up to me, and she said, "Oh, what are you knitting?" And she sat down, and I'm a very shy person. In
Oh, yeah,
public.
right.
Well, the
No, I could
joke
see
is
that. I could see it.
if
You're
you don't
reserved.
know me, I'm a reserved, kind of person. And then once you do know me, you
I think
regret
so.
it. Because then I don't shut up. So anyway, she sat down and just started, talking to me about knitting, and really cool chick. Her name is Jill Wright, and she actually has designed for Creative Knitting and Vogue and Interweave,
Oh,
she's
everything.
everywhere. And she said, "Have you ever thought about designing?" And I went, "Designing what?" And she said, "Knitting patterns for, magazines." And I went, "You can do that? That's crazy." And she, I always thought it was like these big fancy, I don't know, Coco Chanel people that were the magazines or something. And so she gave me her email, and I went home to my husband and I said, "She said that I could design for knitting magazines. I'm going to email her and get some more information on this." And he thought I was completely insane. Yeah.
Crazy.
He was like, "Okay, honey, whatever." Pats me on the head. And then.
That's so funny. We have our we no, because I was just gonna say we all have our own stories about that moment when someone told us that. Because I have mine too, but anyway, carry on.
So I
It's
anyway,
funny.
I emailed Jill and we met again, and she forwarded me this design call. I think it was for might have been Knit Scene, I think. And I submitted a god awful, like terrible proposal. And I even know, like I look back and I'm like, I can't believe I did that. No wonder it was rejected. So then I, of course, hit Google and researched, and I found this online, I guess it was just pretty much a how to propose to a magazine kind of class. I think it was Mary Beth Temple. A couple other people were in the class, and so I took that, and it was really, really in depth on looking professional and having schematics and working on your sketches. And so as a group, we all worked up a proposal together, and I sent mine out, and Creative Knitting accepted it. And so
Woohoo!
that was the beginning of the end. No. And so
Wow.
from there it was just designing and continually trying to improve my digital skills and my photography skills and my tutorial skills, just because I had that little bit of a hope that, I don't know, someone somewhere out there would want me to work for the magazine. That would be great.
Yeah,
And you
yeah,
did.
and right.
You.
And I just want to say real quick here, sorry to interject, but that's it. That's those stepping stones, those things that you learned years ago, your passion and your training for graphic design, photography, being able to sketch out your vision. That's what helped you become that person that I always joke about, but I call anyone, that's really it's self-sufficient that can then do everything, and that's I think you probably didn't know at the time, but then you just sort of pull that all together. And I know for myself, when I was an illustrator and just doing my own schematics and sketches, and I didn't think anything of it. I was just like, well, that's just what I do.
Yeah.
Until one day someone said, you should be an
illustrator. Yeah, I've had a lot of designers say, oh, well, I don't really know how to do that. I get somebody else to do it for me. And I'm like, well, then if you have questions come in, how do you answer them? And it was really hard. It was years of learning. I spent so much money on photography equipment, trying to learn lighting. I poured hours over the I can't ever remember the abbreviation, ASTM or ATSM, grading guidelines, trying to understand how armholes worked and how they related to waist shaping, where did that fall, trying to learn grading. I think I read every single book in the library on photography and Photoshop and Adobe InDesign. And, I took Linda classes. Fortunately, I'm an avid learner, so I love learning. And if I'm not learning something, I get really bored. So I choose a new project every year. That really was, I guess, the foundation for everything. And then, luckily for me, you took notice and you said, hey, how about you do a couple blog posts? And then you went, hey, I really like that. How about you do the newsletter? And so I did the newsletter. Then you went, hey, I really like that. How about you do some stuff for the magazine? And then you went, hey, how about you take over a magazine issue for me?
My plan was like,
right. That's right. So you just kept throwing these little nuggets in my lap and building me up, and those experiences really, really opened up the other side of the business for me, well past the design side, but into the business management side and the marketing side and the communication side. And so all of that combined, almost 2 years ago now, I was at a trade show and I decided that I was burnt out from just trying to design to make a living. And I said, you know what? I need a job. I need a real job. And Jill, who was with me at the time, she said, well, if you could work for anyone, who would it be? And we were just laying in our hotel beds eating chocolate and wishing we had wine. And I said, and she said, don't even think about it. Just who would it be? And I said, well, Sweet Georgia. And she said, well, why? And I said, well, because they're one of the first yarn companies I ever really worked with. And I love Felicia and she really knows how to run a business. And mm-hmm. I think it would be a great partnership. And she said, okay. And I said, okay. Wow. And the next day, I kind of marched my little butt up to Felicia and I said, you know what? I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but if you are, I want the job. And she kind of, so it was literally a grab the bull by the horns kind of thing. And she mm-hmm. said, well, I've not ever thought about that. Let me think about this. And so we talked a couple times and it was several months later, I thought for sure, she's not interested because Felicia really knows how to run her business. And then surprise, surprise, she emailed me one day and said, are you still looking for a job? And I said, oh, absolutely. And that was that.
The rest is history. And you know what? That's what it means to be, I was going to say tenacious, but maybe that's not the right word, but like just have an intention to really go get something and create something yourself. Because you created your own job.
I think back.
I mean, that's really what you did. And
I was going to say, I think back on some of those moments where some of the best things have ever happened. And they've always been because I don't want to call it like a rock bottom kind of place, but I came to that moment where anything else is just not going to work. I want this, mm-hmm. And making that decision.
And I think when those experiences come your way, when something clicks or something works or something really makes sense, it's easy to make, to see the sort of like the chips fall together or come together. And I think that's great. And I, as far as, you decided what you wanted.
Yeah.
And at the time, there wasn't a job because, Felicia, you planted the seed. And I know that I've done the same. And I love the idea of talking about this just a little bit because I think that if you are excited about, the listeners are excited about, being in this industry and trying to, kind of fill some need, but also that need ties into your passion, create a job. suggest to someone, you know, write a letter to someone, go to a trade show, you know, and go and just talk to someone in the booth. Yep. Because that's how you plant seeds. And like at the time when you talked to Felicia, it's not something she really put any thought into, but because you walked in there and you spoke to her, you left an impression and you planted a new idea. And I know the same for me with the while working on the magazine, someone, a designer, or someone writing an article could send in an idea that I never would have thought of. But then I'm like, oh my gosh, that could be so cool. And then it does become something. So that's where we need to just realize, just because there's no call for something, it doesn't, like, don't wait for something to come to you. You go get it. That's really what I want to say.
That really is. And some of your listeners who might have listened to me in the past know that I also have a second love of writing, romance. And it was that same mentality of, I'm not going to sit around anymore. I need to make this happen. Rather than just thinking about it and wishing for it and dabbling at it, it was, okay, this is the moment, grab the bull by the horns and do it. And so part of my journey was, I wrote a book last year, and got that done. And it was the same thing. I made a decision and that was that. And I just, it was the same juice inside of me when I walked up to Felicia at Sweet Georgia that day.
Wow. I mean, I don't know. You can believe this or not, but, and I think maybe Elizabeth Gilbert has said this and other people have said it, and I'm talking about her book, Big Magic. You know, like when you put an intention out there, it's sort of like, just like I was saying before, this seed is planted, but it's almost like it becomes its own presence. It becomes its own living thing that is, it's like if you have this, you know, you're on a certain trajectory and you want to see an outcome, that it's sort of like all the forces in the universe come together. And so I really believe it. I mean, I know someone listening might be thinking, "Oh, that's great."
That's
and
too,
you know, we
yeah,
see
that's
those
too woo-woo.
Things on
too woo-woo.
Woo-woo or
but think
banners and buttons on Facebook. But I personally believe it because I've also seen
it happen.
I do too.
Every time when I think back on all of the monumental moments, those big achievements that I can't believe I did that, you know, that it all comes back to that. It's something that I planted the seed, man.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about what it's like working, you know, remotely. Because you've been doing it since the beginning. And you've had, you know, your dark moments and your high moments. And it's nice that now you're with Sweet Georgia. So you're like, you know, obviously it's more like you have a steady gig, right? But so what is it like? I mean, I guess, you know, we already talked a little bit about morning routine and we can even revisit that. But, you know, what is it like? Is there in your opinion, a certain ingredient to your day? Like, what is it? You have special practices. Like, what helps you really stay on track? Because I know you're, the queen of organization.
Planner queen here, baby.
You are. I know. My biggest problem is I've got like books. I have too many books, too many little notebooks and things. But anyway, so what is your, you know, main practice? Or just, kind of dig into that.
Let me think if that, what is the one magic thing? You know, the one thing that keeps me held together is my monthly calendar view. Every time I get a deadline, and I have a lot of deadlines, not just with Sweet Georgia, but also with my contributing editor job, and then other side personal projects, every time I get a deadline, it gets plugged into my monthly calendar. And I sit down every week and I review the weeks ahead and I break those deadlines down into doable steps. And then those steps get plugged into my to-do list every day for the week. So when I open up my calendar, I know exactly what I'm doing every single week before before I even do anything. So looking ahead, I know I have Make Graphics Day. I have Write Blog Post Day. I have Knit X Rows on this day, Knit X Rows on that day. It's all broken down. So you can look all the way up until April, and I have to-do lists on every single day broken down. So do you put,
so for example, it's plotted in your calendar where you have, like you said, blogging day or
I do
whatever.
Have
and it's sort of a recurring.
I have recurring
like
things.
Recurring invite?
Yeah, I have recurring things. And so every time I get a deadline, whether it's I have to, you know, knit a project because there's still a lot of knitting in my job too. Whether it's knitting a project or just writing a marketing piece, blog post or something of that like, they all have their basic anatomy. For a design, I know that I need to write the pattern. I know I need to knit the sample. I know I need to get it to a tick editor. I know I need to get it photographed. I know I need to get it laid out. And so knowing what those steps are, I'm able to plug those in. So typically I know that for a sweater, I really like to have at least 3 weeks to knit the sweater, and I run my numbers up for my sample and I break that down into how many days I have, and that's how many rows I have to knit a day. So everything, I mean literally everything, is broken down that way. And then once I have that to-do list and my total number of days, it go, you know, Monday, March 6th, I put that to-do item in, and then I put those steps in onto every day leading up until the deadline.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of Brian Tracy's Eat That Frog? I think I've
Yes.
talked about it before
mm-hmm.
with you. It's your process is very similar to his. And you know, you're written, right? You don't do any
No,
digital.
I tried to do digital, and while sometimes it's good to have a flash up on my phone, my to-do lists are too long and they'll take over my phone.
Well, you know what they say when it's too, well, yeah, digital.
Digital, it's too hard for
endless.
Me to, yeah.
You can write
yeah, you
forever.
Can't, I can't tell where my to-do list should end, whereas on my paper planner in front of me, I have a dedicated home. I'm going to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I have 10 lines, and if they fill up those 10 lines, I know I can't get anything done past that, so it has to be moved or delegated to another day or another person.
So what about ideas? I mean, I know for myself, like I have written daily, you know, but everything else is
right.
digital, and so when I have an idea, it usually comes to me when I'm out,
yeah.
so I rely on my phone. I mean, yep. I love my phone. I live by my phone. For scheduling, everything is also popping up in my calendar. But then I dump everything into, you know, I use Asana mm-hmm. and Evernote, but Asana in the tasks, it's easy because everything just sort of, it's almost
yeah.
like in a bucket where it's not going to go anywhere until mm-hmm. you move it or assign
right.
it to yourself or give a date to it. So what do you do with those random ideas since you are written and you're, let's say you're out and you're, whatever, you know, you don't have anything to write it down, you know, just some odd sticky note, like which might get lost. Like, how do you capture ideas wherever
well, my
you
planner,
are?
My planner's that? Written completely 100%, but I'm not fully written. I rely on Evernote. I have an action pending folder, which is just where I dump ideas. And action pending means that I can do it whenever I want to. So every evening I do... As part of my, I have an evening routine too. So part of my evening routine is dumping out all of my ideas. So I have a notebook, a dedicated notebook where it's just my brain dump. And I'll compare that with what I may have stuck into Evernote earlier that day and see if it's anything that I need to put on my calendar or if it's something I just want to hold on to. And I just kind of tag it, you know, whether it's a who, what, where, when, whether it's a daily, now, next, soon, later, someday, waiting kind of tag, and whether it's a business or personal kind of tag. So Evernote is my second little baby. So while it's not paper related, it is still just my big database of ideas. And I have, I mean, it's everything from novel ideas to medical receipts to future articles I want to write about, to spiritual reference, you know, just websites I want to remember. So it's all categorized in there and all tagged with the appropriate tags, so that if I do want to find it, so for example, if I did have something that I want to do soon, but not right now, I tag it with a number 3-soon. And so I'll go in there randomly and I'll in the search, I'll put 3 soon, or I'll just click on that tag and it'll pull up all the topics that, you know, all the ideas that I had thought about doing, but wasn't sure about yet. And I'll decide if I want to do it.
I love that. I love how hearing how we all have our own way of doing things. I love Evernote too, and I used to take notes, you know, just like my random notes, and I have a folder called Brain Dump. But I do it all in Asana. I feel like it's so much more organized because you can create lists. So like one, you know, 3 words, whatever it is, and I make just a task. And then I do like what you do is at night when I'm sitting down on the couch and I kind of
vomit on a page.
Drop and drag. Well, the thing that I love about Asana is that you can drag it with your finger, move it around, because I'm usually sitting with my phone. And then either it stays in the top, like in a task, just like kind of a random like idea in my tasks, or it gets a date and then I assign it to myself. So that means it ends up on my calendar for like tomorrow or next week.
So, I don't know if it's because I'm not as smart as I hope I was, or if it's because I just need repetition, but I find that the more redundant and repetitive that I make it. So for me, if it goes in Evernote, if it's an idea that I do want to follow through on, I still pull out a notebook. I will still write it all out and break it down. And then it still gets plugged into my monthly planner. It still gets plugged into my weekly planner and my to-do list. Some of my steps are a little redundant that way, but I find it just ingrains it in my head better.
I think you're right. And I used to actually feel guilty about that, because I'm a little, and maybe sometimes it's too much, but you know, because of the notebooks that I'm hoarding. But I really do
collecting.
The same.
It's not hoarding, collecting.
Right. Oh, okay.
Get it right.
Okay. No, but I do. And I'm a big Moleskine freak. And I swear I should be an affiliate. I haven't figured out how to become one. Because
I don't know if they do that. Yeah.
I know. I wrote them once. Again, this is like going back to what I said before, you guys. Just make a job. No, but I wrote them once. And I'm like, hey, I just use your stuff all the time. So, hey, you want to pay me? No, I'm just. But I mean, you know, I just love the different, you know, formats, the different ways of organizing projects.
I know one of my favorite things to do is to go on Instagram and just put in planner or to-do list or just Google. And the way that people think and work out their agenda is so unique and so beautiful. And it's just so inspiring. I get so many fun ideas that way too.
I know, especially when I type in bullet journal, because it's gone beyond just bullet journal. Because
people spend so much time decorating and everything.
I love it.
I don't have time for it,
but really, I don't either. But I like to look There's Boho Berry.
I haven't, but I'm gonna look her up now.
But Boho Berry, her name is Kara, by the way. Kara with a K. Kara Benz, Benz, and. It's very inspiring, but she basically shows you, she sort of has like her week, and she writes it out, draws things, whatever, as she's talking, like she's kind of going through
whole
thing.
Oh,
and
you know who
really,
you know who else had, and it'll, I bet you didn't even know, who has an amazing YouTube channel and really in-depth views of her planner process is Mary Heather Brown from Ravelry. She's one of the admins, or one of the, I don't even know her job title. I see her with Casey. Mary Heather Brown works for Ravelry. So she's the one, whenever you have an advertising problem, you email her and she fixes it, or you have a pattern problem. So Mary Heather Brown, who works for Ravelry, has a great YouTube page where she talks about how she breaks down her monthly view into her weekly view, and she's got a great great view into organizing. So check her out.
Cool. That is very cool. So what's your planner? Is it a passion planner? Is that what the one you're using, or no? You're still Erin Condren?
Nope, I use an Inkwell Classic. I've had it for about 3 years now, I think. So, and this year I got the Classic A5 version. So it's the already pre-punched with the holes to fit into my Filofax Malden, which is a beautiful purple leather cover.
Oh my goodness. So is it, so it's refillable, mm-hmm. because you said you've had it for a while. So your Inkwell is refillable. Yep. You want to know something that I am really like, I still, even online, I still have not found this. This is the planner I want.
Yes.
Can I tell you what it is? So it's monthly, the monthly page first that goes into weekly. And I don't need like a spread for a day because, you know, sometimes some days you're not working, you're not doing anything, but like a spread for the whole week is fine. Into then multiple pages of notes right after
I saw a Facebook ad or something.
Well, I want pages after the week. Like, so I'm in this week, and then between this week and next week, there are note pages, and like maybe 5 to 6, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 pages. And then the next week comes, and then there's more note pages.
Yeah.
You know, because so then it's like you can keep little tabs and those removable sticky tabs with notes. So you can go back and use your planner like an entire notebook. Because that's where I always felt tripped up and why I needed to go to a Moleskine or do Bullet and digital. Because I felt like I couldn't have everything I wanted in one place. And if I could find a planner like that, or I guess maybe I need to do a Kickstarter and make one like everybody
that's
else.
That's why I went to Filofax. I went to the A5 size because that's essentially what I also do. I insert my own note pages after each week.
And that's what I did when I was at, you know, so with the magazine, because I have a day runner that believe it or not, my ex-husband did. And so this is like, oh my gosh, over 20 years ago. Oh my gosh. So, but it's always stayed with me, this leather day runner. And I always filled it up because, you know, Annie's would buy us our fillers. And then they would always let me get pads. And so I would like pull out, you know, perforated because they were all hole punched. And I'd put those in between the weeks. So I guess that's what I could do again. But I don't know.
Day runner was like too small for
me. The planner's clunky. Well, this one's big. This one is the 8.5 by...
So it's an A5.
8 by 5. Yeah, it's pretty... It's a nice size. It's about the size of a tablet. But it's still a little bit clunky. Like, I'm not going to carry that.
Oh, see, I don't take my planner anywhere. It stays home. It'll travel. If I'm traveling, it'll go with me. But no, it doesn't go with me anywhere. So when I open up my week view, I keep a post-it note, and that's where I jot down my errands or things I need to pick up from the grocery store. And so when I leave, I just take that little post-it note with me for my errands. Mm-hmm.
And also, I think because you have your little brain dump on your phone, so if you're out and you have an idea, because I guess the truth is that you're not doing work or planning or doing anything heavy duty while you're out. But you will have ideas that pop into your head, and you need to find a way to capture those. Yep. Whether you have a little tiny notebook, but for me, I'm like, you know what? That's not as efficient as your phone, which is always
Wiki. And Evernote is just so easy for me to use at this point, and it's already so set up with my tags and everything that it's just all I need when I'm out and about.
Well, I like that. I don't know. You're kind of inspiring me to go back to my day runner now again, and just, you know, because so you use the Filofax. I think I was using the Franklin Covey inserts, but you know, they're all kind of the same as long as you get, because I think mine is like we said, the A5.
I have the A5, and it's filled with my Inkwell press planner. And what I particularly love about the Inkwell is that at the beginning of each month, she has this section where you break down what your goals are. So my personal goals are attended to as well, as much as my to-do list for work. plans.
So explain that again. So you use the Filofax fillers, but then Inkwell is also a piece for that.
My planner,
that it's like you said,
my planner is the Inkwell planner. And so I use that to put into my Filofax cover. So I have a cover from Filofax. And it came with a planner, but I don't buy the refills from Filofax. I just refill it with my Inkwell Press planner. And it's a regular planner. It has a month view, and then you turn the pages and you have your weekly view, and they're in the classic shape, which is vertical columns. And then before the monthly view, she has this additional daily habit tracker. So you can put like, you know, two or three new habits you're trying to build up and track them. She has this pretty little mission board where you break down what your yearly goals are into quarterly goals and then into monthly goals. And so you get to really narrow down your focus for the month.
Wow, that sounds
really,
really cool.
Pretty. Check out the website. That. It's really, really cool.
So it's
Inkwell Press, I think. I'm going to Google it right now. Okay. Inkwell.
Because this, you know, I felt like, okay, maybe we're going
we
off
are.
On a tangent.
That's us.
But I feel like everything, but it's okay because everything we talk about, like, that's why I say this more and more, like, on Power Pearls, that we're like, yeah, we're knitters, we're hop, you know, but I think most of the listeners, they want to talk about things that can help them you know, have more time for their yarn crafting. And if that means being more organized in other areas, then yay. Or they want to start a fiber-based business because I know that some of you listening, you maybe don't want to go, you know, all, you know, full force on that, but you want to try and see how can I like make a little money like in the fiber world or, you know, whatever it is.
Well, and I get asked all the time by people, how do you knit so much? I don't know how to knit that fast. And quite honestly, I'm not a fast knitter. It's for me, it's just breaking it down into daily, I call it my stitch quota. So I have a daily quota of how many rows I need to knit a day. So
really?
Every time I start a project, whether it's a pattern in a book or whether it's something I'm whipping up out of my head, I will do a quick, I'll just pull out the calculator and I'll calculate all the rows that it talks about. So if it says I need to work 8 inches and I know my stitch gauge is, you know, whatever, 5 rows per inch, I'm going to multiply 8 times 5 and that gives me that total number of rows and I add that to the armhole rows and then I add the front and the back together and then I add each of the sleeves. So I total up how many rows the project will take me for completion, and then I calculate how many days I need to get it done. And
wow.
So
that's amazing. So this is if you're designing something too. So this helps you to stay on deadline.
So this is how I only once in my entire career have I missed a knitting deadline for work, and that was only because we had I had a sample knitter catastrophe. So it wasn't my fault.
I can totally attest to that because you have never been late. In fact, you were always early.
So, and that's how I get it done. So, you know, some people they'll knit the same project for like, you know, a week straight. And I don't, I knit for example, right now I have 30 rows on a sleeve I need to knit this week. And then I also have, I don't know, I think it's 18 rows I need to knit on a shawl. So I still have multiple projects going every day, but they still all get done on time because I break it down. The key, though, is to add in buffer days. You always need buffer days because there are going to be days you have to rip and there are going to be days you feel like crap and you don't want to knit. And then there's going to be days like me this week where my puppy decided to sprain her knee and my daughter decided to put a hole in her ear. And so there went 2 days of my knitting out the window. So always have several buffer days added in there. but that's how you.
That's like gold that we just gave this whole, this is like something that no one has ever mentioned.
That's how I do it.
You know, like the real, like drill down, like if I need to work, you know, I want to work with, you know, a magazine and then I want to work with, you know, 2 different yarn companies and then I want to do a workshop and like, because that knitting time, if you're not going to work with a stitcher, you have to get real with
what's like, feasible for you to do it. And so when I tell people I break my steps down, I literally break it down into how many rows a day that I need to knit on this particular project. And so right now it is, what is it, March 6th? I currently have 13 projects that I have to get done by early May.
But this is good even if you do work with a stitcher, because then you can definitely, and I'm sure you already do this with your stitchers or designers, you know how long it'll probably take, especially if it's a design that you created and you're sending it out. You can definitely know, like, okay, you know, this is going to take you this much, you know, rows per day.
And I break it down a lot easier for them because I try to give, it depends on who it is. I have some stitchers that are so stupid fast. I'll say, if you could do 15 rows a day, you'll be done by X day. And, you know, they'll bang it out in 2 days. And then I have some that are just a little slower. But yeah, I give them an estimate of how long, if you work X rows a day, it should take you, you should get it done by this date. And it helps them with their own planning. But yeah, if you want to be a stitcher, if you want to design multiple projects at once, that's how you do it. And sometimes those 30 rows can be a real long 30 rows to knit if it's a lot of stitches. Oh, yeah. But you take that into account, you know, and add it in your buffer days and everything. So,
how about if we talk a little bit about, we shift gears a little bit and talk about some of the things that you have going on. Because I know that you're working on a new collection. I think you said it was called Mini May, the Mini May collection.
I don't know what we're calling it yet. That's just what I call it in my head.
You don't know? Yeah. Okay. Then, So are you still seeking designs or is it done? Or like, just kind of tell us what's happening because this is a spring, a new spring
what
collection.
What is happening?
Works,
we have
right?
so much happening at Sweet Georgia all the time. Next week, we are launching our Spring with Sweet Georgia Volume 2. And it is a 10-piece collection with an amazing group of designers like Fiona Ellis and Fatima Hines. And gosh, I can't even think of who some of the other designers are. And I feel terrible that I can't even think because my...
Maybe I put you on the spot. when you say next week, that's the week of, because when this goes live, it'll be the 17th of March. So we're talking the week of the 13th of March.
March 14th. Yeah.
Yeah. March 14th is when it goes live.
Let me back up then a little bit and I can tell you a little bit more. So March 14th, we're launching our Spring with Sweet Georgia Volume 2. And it's full of beautiful designs from designers like Fiona Ellis and Madeline Windsor and Emma Welford and Fatima Hines and Meg Roque and a couple others, including myself. And it's a 10-piece collection that comes out both as individual patterns and as an ebook collection. And I'm personally so very, very excited about this specific collection just because our photos really just were taken up a notch, and I decided to kind of update the graphic look of our lookbook and our ebook a little bit and add some fun new shapes and stuff in there. It's just such a stunning, easy, light, colorful collection that I can't wait for it to get into your knitting hands. Came out. And then in May, I'm launching a little mini collection, just a 4-piece collection of my own designs because we wanted to highlight. So spring collection got started so early that we weren't able to utilize a new yarn that we are launching with spring. And so I wanted to have just a small collection that highlights that new yarn and some of our new colors that are so on trend for the season. Just super soft, not even pastel. They're just too muted for that. Purpley grays and soft, muted, foggy pinks and this gorgeous, I'm so in love with it, our new colorway. It's called Biscuit. And at first, you know, when you try and describe a color over the phone or over the internet, it's like, it's a gold. And I'm like, okay, so it's a gold. Like a yellow gold, an orange gold. What kind of gold is it? So it's really hard to describe it, but it just has these amazing, it's more like this wheat colored yellow with rose gold tones and then these darker hints of copper tones that just kind of come in and out of it. It's just so gorgeous. I'm knitting with that currently for the May collection. So I have that going on. And we just had our major swatch review and accepted designs for our fall volume 3 collection. And I'm currently going over what we need for our smaller, it's a 6-piece holiday collection that we put out. So I've accepted a couple pieces from submissions that came in for fall. I asked them if I could use them for holiday instead, but I'm still looking for one or two.
Oh, you are. So mm-hmm. for fall yeah. and holiday. Okay, cool. I also want to, you know, just shift gears a little bit. And now that we're going to wrap up and talk about a special workshop that I have going.
Yes.
On. Yeah. So it's as many of you are maybe aware, and you've taken part in the Stitchucation workshop in January. I have another one starting up. It's going to start with a challenge this time that'll lead into the workshop. So the actual challenge starts April 10th, and it's going to be, this time it's all about shawls. So it's Stitchucation shawls, and Sweet Georgia Yarns is the exclusive
yes.
sponsor of the workshop and the challenge. So I'm super excited.
We're excited too.
And yeah, I know. Thank you so much for that, by the way.
Oh, of
Tabitha.
Course.
That was like, you know, just so incredibly generous of you guys. So if you want to learn more and sign up, because it's so basically, if you sign up now, it's a good idea because you'll have time to get the yarn. And Sweet Georgia is offering a discount mm-hmm. on the yarn, a 10%
yes.
discount. So and basically it's going to be the Tough Love sock, which is there's a pattern that's included, a shawl pattern that you guys can get for the challenge. So it's a free pattern. And yeah, and then you can see all the details if you go to powerpearlspodcast.com/shawls. And that's it. So should we mention the coupon
yes.
code, Tabitha?
Sure.
Or okay. So
I don't know exactly when it goes into effect, but as soon as I get off here, I will ask Felicia. But I think it'll be available right away. But if you use the coupon code STITCH10, that's all one smushed up word together, you'll get 10% off your yarn purchase. And we are hoping you will make some beautiful shawls with our beautiful colors.
Yeah, so if they go to sweetgeorgiayarns.com mm-hmm. and then when they go to checkout,
yeah.
right? So they type that code in that
yep.
you just gave. Awesome. Well, I'm thrilled. So, so the challenge, if you guys go, you can check it out, but it starts it's a 5-day challenge to start. And it starts on the 10th through that whole week, so we end Friday. And then there's a little break, and then we go into a 5-week workshop. So it's going to be like a
That's
really
awesome.
Big deal. Yeah. So, but you know, all the details will be over on, you know, the page that I had just mentioned. So again, I'll just give it to you again. So it's powerpearlspodcast.com/shawls to learn more. So I hope you guys will take advantage of this fun. So yeah. So Tabitha, this was great. And I really appreciate that you have decided to spend time with me today, because I always love chatting with you on
You're
a Monday.
You're too good to me.
Well, I think once again, we did it, you guys. So I want to say thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Power Pearls Podcast. And yeah, totally take advantage of this new workshop challenge. Actually, it's a challenge, 5-day challenge that I have coming up. It's, you know, time to sign up right now. So it is, as this goes live, we are at March 17th, the day that this episode went live, which gives you a little bit more than 2 weeks. So that should be plenty of time to get your yarn once you sign up. So sign up for the challenge. I'll give you all the information again. So it's powerpearlspodcast.com/shawls. And once you sign up, so you'll get on the mailing list, which will keep you in the loop on just the little details and everything that you're going to need to know to get ready for the challenge. Sweet Georgia Yarns is providing a 10% discount for the yarn. So we're going to be knitting our shawls together with Tough. I mentioned in the episode Tough Love Sock, but I think that we may even mix it up a little bit. So while I'm recording this, I'm still working out the details of the pattern, I'll be honest. But you know what? That's the exciting part of it all. So I might kind of mix it up and use a few different weights in the shawl, because this particular workshop that, or I should say the challenge, is and I didn't mention this in the episode either, but it's an intuitive approach. So it's an intuitive approach to shawl making that is a little bit unconventional, but I want you to be able to tap into trusting yourself when it comes to what should come next. So it's a mix of obviously technical things that you'll need to understand and learn, but at the same time, I want you to have fun and I want you to tap into your intuitive side as well. So I think you're really going to enjoy the 5 days. So it's 5 days. We start, it's free. So we start on Monday the 10th. Every day you'll get an email from me. There'll be a live streaming video in the private Facebook group for the challenge. And yeah, and then we're just going to keep going, and there'll be prompts and pieces of information that you will get from me. So I will be there every single step of the way. You get to ask questions, you get to meet other people in the taking the challenge as well. And then there'll be a little bit of a break over the weekend. So we end, I'm looking at my calendar now. So if we're starting on the 10th of April, so that brings us to the 14th is the last day of the challenge. We'll have a little bit of a break over that weekend. And then we start the 5-week workshop on the 17th. And I'll talk more as we go along. I'll talk more about that workshop and how that is going to work, because I would love it if you guys stuck around, because you'll get the pattern, but in the workshop, you'll get some more bonus material connected to the shawl, so you can add edging, different kinds of edgings, maybe different types of cast-ons and bind-offs that you can use, and just a real explorative way to really take it to the next level if, you know, shawl making is your cup of tea. So with that, I will leave you, and I will see you next time. Have a good one.